the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. This is Tuesday, the 16th of February, and the time is about 2 minutes after five.
Present.
And present today, we have myself as chair of the committee, Representative Murkowski. We have Vice Chair Coghill, Representative Phillips, Representative James, and Representative Cott. There are two items to be heard on the agenda this afternoon, House Bill 77 regarding Joint Armed Services Committee. And this is introduced by myself, but I will have Casey Sullivan come up and deliver the comments regarding the sponsor statement. You would identify yourself for the record, please.
Certainly. My name is Casey Sullivan. I'm a staff assistant to Representative Lisa Murkowski. Alaska's military faces many challenges in the imminent future. To assist in facing those challenges, Representative Murkowski has introduced HB 77. House Bill 77 will replace the existing Joint Committee on Military Bases in Alaska, established in Chapter 31, 1988, with the Joint Armed Services Committee. Similarly, the Joint Armed Services Committee would have an existence longer than called for in the Uniform Rules, Rules 21B and C. In fact, this would be a permanent interim committee so that members may be active year-round. Creating this committee for longer than the duration of the 21st legislature requires a change in statute and cannot be done with a concurrent resolution, hence this bill. The committee would be activated on July 1, 1999, and the Legislative Council would provide administrative and other services to the committee. This committee would provide a unified front by House, Senate, military and civilian members to monitor timely military topics relative to Alaska. Furthermore, it would review and encourage state policies to ensure the continued well-being and education of members of the armed forces, both active and reserve components. As we are in the crux of two swing forces with regard to our military, the potential creation of new sites for the national missile defense and the possible consolidation of existing operations, both require our considerable and constant attention. With the military accounting for approximately $1.7 billion of Alaska's economy, it is imperative that the legislature take a leading role to monitor the economic impact of future military-related events. This Joint Committee, Armed Services Committee, will provide that focus. I'm happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and Mr. Sullivan, I see that the oversight as far as administrative services would come from Ledge Council. Do you anticipate that there would be a full-time staff during the interim on this committee? And where would that staff be located?
Through the chair, Representative Phillips. We do anticipate that there will be some staff during that time, probably not full-time, to the best of our knowledge as of yet. Yeah.
And then you had also asked where that staff might be located.
And if it's not full-time, would that be committee staff from your committee, or would there be committee staff from the Senate also, or from Ledge Council?
And I will speak to that as best I can. It would be my understanding that any interim staff would be located in Anchorage. The Senate, Senator Kelly has introduced a similar measure on the Senate side. Chris Nelson is going to be addressing us on this legislation, and he might perhaps have some additional information from the Senate hearing as well. Any other questions? For the record, I might add that Representative Foster has joined the committee. Mr. Nelson, if you would like to join us, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Chris Nelson. I'm staff to Senator Kelly and currently serving on the staff of the Joint Military Base Committee, the one that this committee will replace. We discussed, as we tried to put this thing together, whether or not we wanted to make this a standalone committee with a separate staff, and declined to do that for a number of reasons. That was the approach that we initially took when we formed the Joint Military Base Committee last year, but there was some reluctance on the part of the legislature to institutionalize the committee that far with a permanent separate staff. And so it's our intention on this that the members on the committee will provide the staff resources from their own staffs to do it. In terms of where that staff would be based. I think, again, Anchorage is the most appropriate location. It gives us access to Alaska Command, to USARAC headquarters at Fort Richardson, the major components that we're serving on this, and also gives us access to the state regional area headquarters for the National Guard. So this is not to say that other members on the committee and their staffers would not be involved on this, but it's our intention with this committee to do, as we get it initially started and going, to try to do more with less and use existing resources and stretch them as far as we can on this.
Did anyone have any questions of Mr. Nelson? Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, the per diem cost on this, I noticed there's an allowance for that, but it shows no fiscal note on that. Why?
Through the chair, the per diem costs for the members involved in any of this thing will be borne either by Ledge Council or by session funds if they're in session. The obligation would be for the five public members that we're putting on that. And again, it's my understanding that Ledge Council would be the source to put up with those. We don't anticipate this group doing a lot of travel. The prototype committee, the one we have now, has met in Fairbanks and taken the public members up there and done a very outstanding tour of Eielson Air Force Base, and that it is our hope that members of this committee, serving on this committee, would get up-to-date tours of our current installations as we talk about them and their roles and missions, and our desires, number one, to protect them, and number two, to use those resources to expand military participation and basically sell the Department of Defense on the tremendous resources that currently are available to them and underutilized here in Alaska. But it is our intent on that with the public members to look to Ledge Council to fund that. And we expect this, again, as to be a minimal kind of expense. Our members so far on our committee, current committees, are participating primarily by teleconference.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Phillips.
And just further to answer Representative Coghill, any committee that is established such as this that does not have its own personal staff, those expenses are borne either by Ledge Council or by the individual offices. So, and the travel could be borne by leadership also then. So there's no need for a fiscal note on the legislative members.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Nelson, go ahead.
Yeah, I may point out, Madam Chair, that we passed out to the members a copy of a report that we've received from the state of Texas outlining their proposal both to their legislature and to the governor on what they think they need to do to support the military community in the state of Texas. The point that we make on this thing is that we're not operating in a vacuum. Other states are working very, very actively to promote the military presence in their state. The Texas package is very comprehensive and contains some excellent ideas. We've known since our bases started to compete with Fort Drum, New York, for a number of missions, that the state of New York annually appropriates about $4 million through its community and regional development funds to promote activities on its military bases in the state of New York, and at least one of those is in direct competition with Alaska. So other states are moving forward in this area. Alaska, I think, has done a pretty good job with the resources we've had, but we're kind of positioned now to take the next step, and I believe that the establishment of this committee in the format that it's being proposed with public members and representing all the armed services. The other thing that we've been very conscientious about trying to do is include the Coast Guard in this base, or in this, by increasing the number of public members on the committee and making one of them to be appointed upon the recommendation of the commander of the Coast Guard district. And I think that that, again, brings those folks who are very, very important to our state into the group that we're considering and trying to help on this.
Thank you. Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Back on the per diem, let's see if I got that right. All of the legislators will be, their per diem will be taken care of out of either their own office or out of leadership or whatever. But what about the public members? I don't think that was in the answer. Where does per diem come from for the public members?
Ledge Council.
Ledge Council is what we expect to do.
Okay, so So this is, doesn't need a fiscal note?
No, that's, that was our consideration when we weighed that out.
That's my understanding.
If I might respond, you know, it just seems to me like if you add in an interim committee, that's going to have people who have to have per diem. Unless they take the place of some other people who are getting per diem, it seems to me like there's additional per diem. and so it seems to me like there ought to be a fiscal note. And I'm not opposed to a fiscal note. I'm just thinking that it sounds like we ought to have a per diem fiscal note.
Representative Kraft.
Spoken like an accountant. If it balances out someplace else, it's either got to be a gain or come from someplace else. I'm concerned about that too. The expenses of the Joint Armed Services Committee will be absorbed within the legislature's budget. I can see how we might be able to do that with our legislative. It probably is a net gain there too. I'm not sure whose per diem we cut off when we add ours on, or whoever's going to be on this committee. But there ought to be some acknowledgement of the increased cost. There will be increased costs.
And if the information that we got back when we requested the fiscal note was that there was not an independent fiscal note, that the expenditures would be monies that are basically through Ledge Council.
Budgeted monies.
Right.
One other point, your public members, probably their expenses for the most part will be picked up by their entities. Like the City of Anchorage, I'm sure, will pick up whoever they have. The North Star Borough probably would pick up that. The Adjutant General or the person from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs can come out of that budget. So I would imagine that a lot of that expense will be picked up by those designees.
I'm not entirely certain how that has been picked up in the Joint Committee on Military Bases.
On the current Joint Committee, Ledge Council has picked up the expenses of the three public members for the one, we had two meetings, one in Anchorage, and we paid the public member for Fairbanks coming down. And then on our December meeting, when we went to Fairbanks, we did provide transportation and a day's per diem for the Anchorage public members that went up and went on that. So we have a total of 3 days per diem that we've incurred in the last 6 months or last 8 months that we've had the.
Representative Kraft.
Madam Chairman, did Ledge Council then make a corresponding cut in some other part of the legislature's budget?
Well, not in the legislature's budget, but in the Ledge Council funds for per diem and all that, it was allocated against that. Now, I'm not aware of a light item that they cut in order to do that. I was not present at the Ledge Council meetings when they went forward and did that, so I'd have to get you an answer.
Just respectfully, Madam Chairman, it seems to me we create more trouble than it's worth. I think it probably would be a pretty low fiscal note, pretty unobjectionable even in these times. But I just still can't see how it can be truly zero when we know it'll cost money.
And I, going back to your comment about how it all has to balance out in the end, I mean, it is coming from somewhere and whether that's reflected. So whether or not we have an independent fiscal note at this time or whether we have it reflected later, I'm not entirely certain. We can go back and request that they give us a fiscal note that does account for it. But
and the bill is going on to Representative James Committee.
That's true.
Following, it could have an adjusted fiscal note there.
Oh, that's true, and it is assigned to finance afterwards. So somewhere along the way, the fiscal note issue is going to be coming up again.
Sure.
I've been informed that Brigadier General Oates is on the line, and he was planning on testifying on this, I believe.
Madam Chair, this is General Oates. to be late to conference. I was expecting a call, but so I'm joining late. I wonder if someone might bring me up to speed on where we are.
General Oates, this is Representative Murkowski, and we have just taken up House Bill 77, which is an act establishing the Joint Committee on, the Joint Armed Services Committee. And we have heard testimony from Chris Nelson regarding House Bill 77 and from Casey Sullivan. Do you have any comments that you might want to add in support or otherwise?
Well, just as a general statement, I think the approach to establishing a more permanent Joint Armed Services Committee is good for us. Longevity will certainly count as we consider these matters, and they're certainly not a year-to-year basis. And I like the idea of a unified front by the House, by the Senate, by the military and civilian members. So. My overall comments would be in favor of this resolution as or the sponsor statement.
Thank you. Are there any questions of General Oates? Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I guess I would ask at this point in time if there's what the will of the body is with regards to House Bill 77.
Madam Chairman. I would move that we move House Bill 77 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Seeing no objections, House Bill 77 is moved out of committee and on to state affairs. The second matter to be taken up today is House Bill 80, which is an act relating to a state employment preference for certain members of the Alaska National Guard. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me apologize first beforehand. I'm real nervous. First bill I'm sponsoring, and if I make a mistake, please bear with me.
We shoot you.
Yes. We'll ask questions later.
Right.
Okay. House Bill 80, an act relating to state employment preference for certain members of Alaska National Guard, is a bill for National Guard that's serving 8 years, presently serving 8 years, as preference points for any state job at 3 points. As we know that the veterans get 5, disabled get 10. This would give the Alaska National Guard 3 points. It's very hot. This bill recognizes tremendous contribution of our Guard. It's an initiative for them to stay in the Guard. At this point, we've got some that's leaving, and this I think will keep them to stay in. And it's in short, this bill is a win-win piece of legislation. There's no physical note attached to the piece of this legislation. It does have the potential to slow the process of losing Guard members, and to add the strength to current ranks. I'm very nervous. Stop here.
Are there any questions of Representative Morgan?
I just wanted to say that I think it's very commendable that he sponsored this legislation. We've got more veterans per capita than any other state, and certainly they've sacrificed time in their life and many have gone overseas, and this includes prisoners of war and those that have been wounded and disabled. And I just wanted to thank you for sponsoring this legislation.
Thank you.
Representative Phillips.
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, I'd like to express my appreciation also. I have been concerned about the decline in enrollment in the Alaska National Guard and people leaving the Guard. as quickly as they have. So hopefully something like this will turn that around. I think it's a good policy.
Any further questions or comments of Representative Morgan before we let you off the hot seat?
I am hot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I understand. Well, we've got you on the line, General Oates. Would you care to give any testimony regarding House Bill 80?
Madam Chair, yes, I would. In fact, House Bill 80 has my enthusiastic support. It's good for retention. It also recognizes the caliber of individuals that serve in the Guard. But most importantly, I think we should all remember it's the Alaska National Guard. And we give preference in our state. We recognize the service that they are giving to Alaska.
Any questions of General Oates? General Oates, this is Representative Murkowski. Do I understand correctly that at the federal level there is no recognition given or no preference given to members of the Guard?
That's my understanding as well, that does not give preference at the federal level. I think for those on active services that serve places outside of Alaska, I could understand the rationale for that, but here in Alaska, I think we can correct that by recognizing those that chose to serve Alaska first and then their nation.
Any further questions of General Oates? Thank you, General.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to testify as always.
Thank you. I understand that we have Bruce Gazaway with us. Is Bruce?
He's in Anchorage.
He is in Anchorage. Okay. And Bruce Gabries on the phone. Is there anybody in the audience that would care to testify regarding this? Sir, you could identify yourself for the record, please.
I'm Dick Roundtree. I'm a retired long-term guardsman, and I would like to urge passage of House Bill 80. The Guard has done an awful lot of things in Alaska besides carry rifles for the federal mission. They were very active in the 1964 earthquake, Fairbanks flood, and I could probably give you about 20 different disasters that the Guard has taken place in over the years. And these people either go on their annual leave, or they call them volunteers to do that kind of work. I think this is just a small thing we can do for them to maybe help them stay in the Guard and have that resource available in time of a disaster, for one thing, because they've certainly proven to be helpful during that time.
Any questions of Mr. Andrew? Yeah. Thank you for coming to testify. Is Mr. Gazaway on the line?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm standing by, as is Bruce Gabries.
Okay, if you would like to go ahead, Mr. Gazaway, with your testimony, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, it will take about 7 or 8 minutes for me to read through this. I did send a copy to Representative Morgan's office. Would you want me to read through it, or do you want me to summarize it? What is your will on that?
If you could just summarize it for us, please.
Yeah, I'd be happy to that. First of all, I'd like to thank yourself, Madam Chairman, for allowing the time on your schedule for this bill, and I'd certainly like to thank Representative Morgan for being our champion on this. But let me explain what it is we're trying to accomplish. As you've been discussing, the existing federally established employment preference is a veteran's preference. It's intended for members of the military. our mid-level managers on the job. We believe that this is modest, it's a very modest proposal. We believe it's low cost to no cost, and it's a good incentive for the mechanics, the master mechanics, the shop foremen, the load masters, the pilots, the squad leaders, the platoon leaders, all the other mid-level members of the military that make the machinery move smoothly. Now, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I think that's the essence of our pitch here. We see this as a retention issue. Retention in all the military services is a problem. In the Guard, we're losing people, primarily people in the middle of their career. The stress of the overseas deployment, the stresses of family and work, of course, a lot of our good middle management out. And we see this as an effective tool to staunch that flow of manpower. That is all I have to say on this. I'm certainly open for any questions or any further discussion you have.
Thank you, Mr. Gasaway. Any questions? Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Gasaway, your statement on page 2 that you would not have any objection if the bill were amended to extend this preference to retired Guard members. Do you know approximately how many people that might be?
No, ma'am. I have no basis for that. I can only say what other sort of conventional wisdom is that we have a high percentage of veterans.
Okay, and then on page 3, you make a statement that you believe the Army and Guard suffer a 10 to 20% dropout rate every year.
That is my understanding based on conversations with members of the recruiting staff. I'm sure that there's someone from the Department of Military Veterans Affairs who could find a more precise figure than that.
We'll do that. That's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Gasaway, this is Representative McCaskey. To follow up on that, is there a point where I guess an individual is in for long enough that they keep with it or they don't drop out? I mean, do you lose more in the first couple years and then things flatten out after that? Is there a trend that you know of?
Again, just conventional wisdom, no hard facts, but generally. The hardest time getting people through their first enlistment, and it's in the first half of their service. After they reach 15 years, they're going to stay. But it's that sort of after the first, they're excited coming back for basic training. From about 3 to about 10 years seems to be the point at which we lose most people. And General Lowe certainly has a lot more experience than I do in this. If he had better insight, I would certainly yield to him.
I guess I'm just curious as to why the 8 years within the Guard was picked. Is there any magic to that number?
No, ma'am, no magic. It seemed to be a number. 6 years would work fine. I think 10 years would be much too late.
General Oates, did you have any comments to that?
Madam Chair, I think that was pretty accurate. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think we are losing. For a number of reasons, and again, how many years should we select for the preference? I wouldn't be opposed to making it for individuals serving in the National Guard. But again, I think perhaps your committee would be the place to debate that actual figure, especially considering the impact that this might have on other issues. But I think the testimony that we just heard was very accurate.
Any other questions of Mr. Gasaway? Okay, thank you, Mr. Gasaway, for your testimony. Mr. Gabries, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, I am.
If you would please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, ma'am. I am Bruce Gabries. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel. I'm currently serving as the president of the Alaska National Guard Officers Association.
And do you have any comments regarding House Bill 80?
Yes, ma'am. I previously sent a letter to Representative Morgan's office in support of House Bill 80. I'd just like to touch on a couple points on that particular letter. support branches of it, either as radiation or some of the support assets that the truck drivers and et cetera that move equipment and material. And many of these guardsmen that deploy with on this active duty period, they do it on a voluntary basis. It's not a full unit call-up. If it were a full unit call-up that was sent to Desert Storm or to Bosnia, then those individuals would share some of the same status as a veteran's benefit. But because they are individual volunteers and not on a forced call-up, if you will, and in many cases, the guardsmen are used to backfill positions either within the United States or other parts of the world as they pull active component units to go to wherever that particular hotspot. And as such, these individuals don't get a campaign ribbon for that, and then they don't qualify for the veteran's benefit on the federal side. And we recently had that experience in the Alaska Army National Guard with our public affairs detachment that deployed to Germany for 6 months, and so that it could free up an active component unit to travel to Bosnia. And those individuals did not get credit for a tour in that theater because of that because they were a replacement for an active duty unit. That's where this bill, giving 3 points, would recognize some of the contributions that the Alaska National Guard makes not only to the federal mission, but in our ever-increasing state mission. And it's not meant to compete with or put on par with the contributions that veterans who served during a time of war and or who were disabled or prisoners of war. So we believe that 3 points is an appropriate level for that kind of recognition. The second point I'd like to make is on the retention. Is the first-term soldiers, when they come in, soldiers and airmen, I should say, when they come into the either the active component or the National Guard, there's a fairly high attrition as they're sorting out, is this what they want to do? And they're young, they get a little disciplined, they have many changes in their lives. So there's a fairly high turnover during that first term. And in recognition of that, there's a lot of incentives for first-term enlistments to stay. But then after you get to that level of whether it be 4 years, 6 years, or 8 years, then you're starting to have a significant investment in the training of these individuals, and they've also obtained skills that we have to replace, and they're mid-level managers, if you will, within the Alaska National Guard. And they're difficult to replace. So we've got a lot of investment in them, and also after that first enlistment is over, there are relatively few external incentives to re-enlist, whether it's a bonus or things like that. It pretty much depends upon the individual's desire to continue to serve his state, his or her state and nation. And that's where the pegging of that time period for an opportunity to give a three preference points for state employment would help. Many of our mid-career people are in the midst of deciding on careers, and this would be one additional incentive for them to continue their Guard membership during that time.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Mr. Gabris? Looks like a quiet group here in Juneau. Mr. Gabris, we don't have any comments of you. I think that all the witnesses have been very helpful in their testimony and in explaining why this particular legislation will be of such benefit. So I appreciate the comments from all of you on the line. Are there any other people either on the line or in the audience that wish to testify on this bill? Hearing none.
Madam Chair, I do have a question for the prime sponsor.
Now that it's come up through the chair, Carl, during the discussions of constructing this piece of legislation, you derived at 8 years, and I assume you worked with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs on it, and those in the know. If I'm wrong, correct me on that, but I'm curious to see whether or not there was any discussion related to 3 points versus 5 points that the active veterans get, since I was a sponsor of that bill a few years back.
I think that we didn't go with the 5 points because I think we'd get opposition from the veterans that did serve in the federal level. So we wanted this piece of legislation to pass, so we gave them three. We kind of know that we wouldn't get the same backing that we were getting from the veterans now. Right now they're being quiet, they support it. Five would be, there was no way they were going to get their support.
Was there discussion, through the chair, was there discussion with the veteran groups to determine whether or not they would bite on 5 points? Or, I mean, because
they was, excuse me, they
four,
was,
it's four
they
years
was,
for them.
They
four
were.
Years and 5 points, and you got 8 years and 3 points.
Yes, there was some dialogue back and forth, and it was, they wouldn't want 4 to 5 points.
You're off the hook.
Any further questions of Representative Morgan? Thank you.
Are you ready to move the bill?
I believe so.
Okay, I'll go ahead and move HB 80 out of committee with the recommendations and the attached testimony.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing no objections, House Bill 80 is moved out of committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. I might mention to the body that you should have all have received by now an invitation to participate in the Northern Edge maneuvers, which will be held outside of Fort Greely the 11th of March. Senator Wilkins and myself are kind of helping coordinate that. We would like to try to find out which members will be able to attend, and would like that information probably by the end of the week, if you can get that to either my office or Senator Wilkins' office. Representative Kraft.
I'd just like to put a conflict on the record, Madam Chair, is that I'm almost completed the process of joining the Guard. That may be a conflict. We don't excuse anyone from voting, but
congratulations to you.
I'm not done it yet.
Wait till you see if you get 3 points.
No, we can
thank you. All right. If there's nothing further, we stand adjourned at 20 minutes to 6. Thank you very much.
We can go.